sarcastically speaking about stuff. Intro. That's a fucking woodpecker. If you can hear that. That's pretty consistent. How's that for a start? Is that Woody? Woody Woodpecker? How dated is that? That cartoon reference. Was that him? I think so. Woody Woodpecker. Bit of a dick. I'd say so. Out.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Game over, man. Game over.
He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
Come on. Playoffs? You kidding me?
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it. I want winners. Here we go.
Playing to win the game.
That was one heck of a timeout.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Ron is in trouble.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
This is like legit one of the first times I've kind of like done this walk talk podcast thing where I don't really have subjects in my head. I usually will start out with something and can just go. Well, when you're sheltered at home practicing social distancing to flatten the quarantine curve, man, there's a bunch of words and concepts that I probably knew about some of them, but didn't would never have believed I'd be practicing any of them. I never would have thought I'd been quarantined or sheltering at home. When you say shelter at home, it kind of sounds like there's like a natural disaster and you're just waiting for it to end. It's like those extinction level movies. Independence Day, The Day After Tomorrow. What's the other one? 2012. I love those type of movies. I think I like apocalyptic movies for whatever reason. I think that it's because it makes me appreciate my situation, which is pretty interesting right now. With this whole COVID-19 shutting the world down, people are starting to get antsy. They are. I mean, because I've said it before, for me, my life hasn't changed too much. I still go to work. Same as how I work in the medical field. I still go to work. I come home, watch TV, go to sleep. I mean, the main thing that's been inconvenienced, how I've been inconvenienced, is the gym. I don't have a gym to go to. I never realized how much I needed that. But what it's also made me do is open my eyes to different forms of exercise that I could look into. My hope is to come out of this whole COVID-19 quarantine situation not have gained any weight, because it's just so much easier. Like, the gym is like a crutch in a way, because like I can go there and I can kind of jump and do my same thing just to maintain. Well, you can get exercise without a gym or fucking exercise equipment. Yeah, you can do that. I mean, dude, just grab a jump rope and just start just skipping rope, like 5 minutes. Your lungs will explode if you're out of shape, which probably, what's the statistic for the United States? Well, like 80% of us are big fat fucks. And now, and what's fucked up is now with the way this quarantine thing worked, you're given a reason to just sit around, watch TV, order takeout, if you're going to do that. But just sitting around, dude, boredom eating is so easy. You just eat because it's there, not because you're hungry. That's why for me, at least, I felt like even if I'm doing the same hour on the elliptical, I'm counteracting just the eating and drinking for no reason. I'd like to actually emerge from this whole situation. And I read this. Somebody said this. It's like you should really emerge from this situation with something new in your bag of tricks, in your arsenal. Kind of like that advice. Because it's just like, what else, what other time? Like now, if I wouldn't have to go to work, I definitely would delve into some stuff creatively. It's just hard because I go to work, I come home, and when I come home, you know, I have family members who don't go anywhere. So it's like, they're like, all right, come on, you're home now. Can you entertain me? I'm like, I kind of don't really want to, but okay. So this is where you're going to take your inaugural walk shit plan. Guess that's a no. Yeah, it's hard. But again, we'll get through this. The economy, I don't know about that, man. And I don't know about my man, 45. If I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. He is unintentionally the funniest president of the United States ever. Because, dude, he has zero fucks. He does not care. He will disrespect. He will... you can check my facts all you want. I don't know if any of this is true. Apparently India has come up with some type of a, and I got this from C-Note. So we might have to really check that because that nigga don't know nothing. Yeah, he does. Love that kid. Something about India coming up with something to counteract COVID. I don't know if it's like a malaria medication or something. And apparently 4-5 went and asked, and they're like, well, we've been helping other countries. 4-5's like, check this out. If you don't hook us up, there'll be consequences. It's like, did you just threaten India, 45? Yeah. But see, that's the conflicting thing about him. You got to kind of give him props for the moves he made with China. He didn't pussyfoot around. It's like he is a politician, but he isn't. And when people will sit there and say, look, he's not presidential. Yeah, he is. You know why he is? Because he was elected 45th president of the United States. So just because he's in that position makes it presidential. The minute he got elected, everything he did was presidential. He's not the type of president that you're used to. And Lord forbid, I don't really care for the guy. No, I don't care for him at all. But there's also a part of me that's like, the older I get, that there's two sides to every story. And like, and especially with the news nowadays, you don't know who, like nowadays, the traditional news, sometimes they're reporting more gossip than they are actual news. And the news is so, they cater to certain sides. I mean, you know, Fox is Republican. What's that? What? CNBC and all them, they're Democratic. I mean, so they're shouting in their own echo chambers. So what I'm really trying to cut to the chase to is that you can't believe everything you see on TV, read on the internet, on Twitter. You kind of have to take on everything with a grain of salt because you're not there. A person's public persona doesn't necessarily have to be their home persona. Because I was talking to somebody recently and I said, and we were talking about how, you know, you're kind of really getting a little irritated with your family members because you're cooped up all this time. And so I was like, it's probably easy for your wife. Nah, not really. I'm not. You're so nice and easygoing. Oh, yeah. When I want to be. When I want to be, yeah. But when I don't want to be, yeah, I'm fucking irritating. I'm super picky when it comes to food, so I don't want to eat what you want. I at times, I don't really want to talk to anybody. Because there's times where, like, I'm a people person. People like me. They're drawn to me. That's because I know it's because I'm personable. And I genuinely listen. See, because that's the key. That's the thing to a good conversation. The listening part. Because you can meet somebody and talk. And they don't get two words. I mean, you don't get two words. So did you have a conversation? Nah, you just, I had a person talking at you. I like it because learning about people sometimes I kind of learn about myself, you know? That's why I like, and this isn't, you can think what you want about this, but that's why I like kind of talking to people who I don't get along with, just so that I can kind of see where they're coming from, and maybe walk away from it learning something, you know? I posed this question on Facebook that actually got a lot more heat than I would have thought it would have gotten. And the question I posed was, can you dislike somebody and still find them funny? Now, my first thought is, and for most people, I would assume that they'd say, no. If I don't like him, I'm not going to think he's funny. Well, let me open up. Let's go to the script and see what we've gotten so far. And I like this. I'm going to read off some of the. I mean, there's been 66 likes for this question and a number of responses. Nanette Della Castella. Went to high school with her. She says, yes. Like I said, is that a pig or a dog? Can't tell. Yeah, she says, yes. That was the first one. I put it up. I think she was like the first person. Yeah, she was the first person to come on. My ex-work wife, Marie Switzer, yes. Jessica Mallory, yes. Thank you. Is that a, what kind of dog is that? Oh, okay. Oh, he's cool looking. Have a good day. Will Mosey, my man. I dig that dude. That dude supports just about everything I did. Can you shut up? I'm doing a fucking podcast. Barking asshole. Bob Lieberman. I'm not really sure. He's got the Bill Cosby doing that Jell-O pudding face. Anjanette Rodriguez Brownlee, another ex-Yakota High Panther. She says, yes. Doug Harding, this is my ex-roommate's brother. Isn't it more often the other way around? You like someone but don't find them funny? See, I kind of agree with that one right there. You'll get people who you like, but they're not funny, and they continue to be funny. Sal Trujillo. That guy's beast, hilarious comedian. I remember the first time I saw him. It was at, I think it was at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova. Dude, and you saw him, I think it was like he had just started. And you could see instantly that motherfucker had it. He's out there in L.A. doing his thing. Do your shit, man. Brilliant. Mark Restivo. Yes, but if they're a true dick, it's not that easy. I like that one. I like that. Shanna Schaefer puts on some pretty good some good comedy showcases. It was nice enough to let me host one. Stay Silly comedy showcases. Yeah. 100% yes. Ken Zen, yes. Sebastian Rubach, yes. Alec Hamill, absolutely. Lin, cartoon. With the cartoon, yes. That chick right there's a trip, man. She's one of the people, like, you have, like, Facebook friends that you make, and you kind of follow them, and you like their posts, but, like, some of them you want to learn about or talk to or meet up to see where they're coming from. She's one of them. She's an interesting cat. I'll keep my eye on her. Bruce Morgenthau. I hope I said your name correctly. There are lots of talented people who aren't despicable, so I don't support people only based on talent. I'm not really sure he answered that question. Charles Hoffa Kelly, The Story of My Life. I've seen him perform a couple times, and he's one of those guys that's really aggressive and doesn't really care. He's going to do what he's going to do. And you either on, if you're in there, you're on for the ride with him. D.A., was it Kluchek? Yes, many people. Leon Cannon. North Bay in the house. Hell yes. Mr. Eric Summers, it seems like you can't find a consensus on this one. Better luck next time. I'm thinking that's sarcasm, and he's saying there's not really a, it goes the other way. Eric Hickok, I put most people in this category. Still didn't really answer the question, but I appreciate the input. Zachary Shelton, there's a few out there that I cannot stand their politics, but they're able to mix comedy in there to be bearable. Yeah, see? Jennifer Alves, another comic I had the pleasure of sharing the stage with. She's funny, like, if you look at a very attractive woman, but, like, when you don't realize she's how, what is she? She must be, like, 5 foot nothing. She's cute. Like, it's a cute woman. You don't, yeah, I figure she was taller. Funny comic, too. Andy Brill, the fucking punctuation and grammar Nazi himself. Many can, many can't. Yeah, see? Bridget, my girl Bridget I work with. She's another one of these people that, like, she's going to give you her opinion, her real opinion. And she's not going to pull any punches. You got to respect people like that, man. Jeremiah Bashir, my boy. Another comic. I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know, but I will say that there are comedians I don't like who a lot of friends whose opinion I trust express love for, and I think he's not funny. He's an asshole, so I assume there's some correlation. I still laugh at Louis C.K. jokes, though. Maybe I'm the asshole. Funny you bring up the Louis C.K. thing, because he released a special. Did it via his own website, and I've watched the first 10 minutes of it. He's still got his fastball, and what I like what he's doing at the beginning is he knows everybody's going to want to, they want him to talk about how he's been ostracized, because I didn't realize it. He's basically was ostracized from stages for about 2 years. Eric Ashloff, my C-note, his son. Kid's a rapper. Says, hell yeah. Rachel Gill, I'd rather be funny than liked. I like that answer. Almost exclusively, Jason Armenio. Stacy Silva Cornejo, my coworker. Good question. First instinct, no. I probably won't think you're funny because I don't like you, so I probably won't pay attention to you. Just first thought. And then under that, Cindy Lowsmith, another coworker. I agree with you, Stacy. And I gotta say, her answer is that's what I kind of, I fell on that. People, like, if you don't like somebody, like she said, if you don't like somebody, and you can't do it on a first impression. After you've been around them for a little while, and you realize, did I really like that guy? No, you're not going to think anything that's funny, because you're going to think they're an asshole, and you're not going to want to listen. So I was surprised. I assume, but you cut back, I think a person's an asshole and still think they're funny. Humor is humor. Subjective, but it still is. Let's see, Howard Samuel Bittner. Thanks for your yeses, you haters. Okay. Philip Alexander, Bill Cosby, Chris Barnes. Oh, shit. Lang Parker, yep. Edward C. Gaines, Big Chuckles. Comic, funny guy. I would say yes. Sarah Newell, yep. Cedric Bernard. Enough said, the comic. Another guy I remember first seeing. It's when I hosted a mic out at Stars in Vacaville. He gets up and it's his first time. And I'm like, dude, you're good. I couldn't help. He's had it. He had the material already. I mean, now he's got the material in the stage presence. That guy's going to probably go somewhere. Jay Rich, very funny Bay Area comic. Yep, hella people I don't like. That's fucking hilarious. Sandra Rizzo, absolutely. Antoine Johnson, all the time, along with people that I would beat their ass off stage, but they're funny on stage. See? Lawrence Riley Tompkins, C. Trump, yeah, here we go. John Magno, unfortunately, yes. See, I like that because it's like, you agree, but you don't want to agree, but you're honest. Christy Monroe, yeah, of course. Tyrone M. Donahue. Usually, no. So there you have it. Maybe I was underselling people and their thought process. But most, just about every person that's a comic that does stand up on that answered, they all said yes. And when it's all said and done, I say yes. But I think that if I got answers from more people, honest answers, I think that they'd probably come to a no. Or maybe they do come to a yes, but don't want to admit the no. Quite the conundrum. Quite the conundrum. I think we can end on that. Well, that question. Until I come up with another subject. Got mad love for the Bill Simmons and his Ringer podcast network, most notably his podcast, the Bill Simmons Scott's BS podcast, and what's the other one? The Rewatchables. Burped. Yeah, where they basically, they rewatch old movies and talk about them. You wouldn't think that it'd be that interesting, but it is. Because most of the movies that they talk about are a lot of my favorite movies. But some of the time, too, they'll review movies I haven't seen, and it'll make me want to go out and see them. The Edge of Tomorrow. Tom Cruise flick. Which is basically... it's basically like a high-tech version of Groundhog's Day. Which, I think I've seen that movie, or I've tried to watch it. Don't find it... not really into it. Edge of Tomorrow, I dug. Dug Tom Cruise in it. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because there, I was listening to another podcast. They were doing Enemy of the State, a Will Smith vehicle. And they brought up some really, really, really interesting bits about Will Smith and Tom Cruise. My hypothesis. I don't know. I think that Will Smith is a black Tom Cruise when it comes to movie making and acting. Because both of them can... well, there was a time to where you could just put either one of their names on a marquee and instantly $100 million. You're going to make that money. But... so they've made the money, they've got the acclaim, they've made the movie, the popular movies that just about everybody likes, but neither one of them have had an Oscar. I think they both had Oscar nominations, but never won. And it's interesting because they talk about how Tom Cruise, I mean, you think about him, he blew up in what was fucking Top Gun, which Top Gun is without a doubt one of the best bad movies ever. When I say bad movies, when you look at it, it's kind of cheesy, kind of corny, but you don't give a fuck. You just love it. You dig it. Karate Kid's another one like that. Kind of corny, kind of, but again, you dig it. Rocky, I'm not going to say Rocky 3 is a good bad movie. Rocky 3, I love that movie. And I've said it 1,000 times that don't fucking even get me started on who wins that, which is the best Rocky out of all. 3 wins every fucking day of the week for me, in my book. So don't come at me with that weak shit. But yeah, Tom Cruise, I mean, if I think back, like, I'm pretty sure he was nominated for Born on the 4th of July. That was a good one. I don't know if he was nominated for the vampire one, where he went hobbits at Brad Pitt, who got him an Oscar for his part. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie, to which I'm going to watch that again because I like Tarantino's movie, so I'm like always going to give him leeway. With that movie, halfway through it, I'm going, all right, what is this? What is this? Can we get to something here? Can we get to something? And then when we got to the end, it finally paid off, but it took a while. So I'm going to have to watch it again to see if there are other little nuances that I didn't catch, but I'm trailing. I bring that up because I think, and people have brought this up, maybe if Tom Cruise worked with a Tarantino, Maybe if he did, maybe then he could, you know, get that Oscar that he's so wanted. I mean, he's got plenty of, they're making the last, Mission Impossible, really good movie. Apparently, they're signed on to do two more of those fucking things. I mean, at this point, because Eyes Wide Shut was one, I think, that he did, that a lot of people are like, whatever the fuck that was. That Stanley Kubrick? Oh, I just had a thought. What movie am I going to make that my family watch? We're doing this thing where we pick a movie and we all have to sit down and watch it. I think Full Metal Jacket. I think that was going to be it. It's either Full Metal Jacket or Baby Driver. Somebody I work with keeps bringing it up and asking me if I've seen it yet, and I haven't, so. But, so Will Smith. I mean, look at him. He starts out, dude's a rapper, bubblegum rapper, gets on a TV show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, pretty popular, then starts acting. And I don't know when Six Degrees of Separation, when he did that movie, but I know that it was like, it shocked people. They didn't realize how good he was. It opened their eyes. Look, he had range. And then he used to go down the hill. It was a Men in Black, Bad Boys. Just did Bad Boys 3. Bad Boys for Life. All right. And you take that movie. Entertaining movie. A couple things I'm going to take away from that. Number one, Martin Lawrence. Whoa. That dude. Whoo, shit. And you know what? Maybe he's not supposed to be still, but you look at all three of those movies, he was tubby. And you finally look at that, and you finally look and see, Will Smith is getting old. He's starting to look his age. He's 51 years old. Well, they say black don't crack. Nah, it just fucking dwindles because of high blood pressure and diabetes. Yeah. I said it. What other movies? Independence Day. I Am Legend, to which I'm not going to put it on. I don't know if I put it on my top 10 list, but I definitely like it. My wife loves that fucking movie. I remember when we were out to dinner with her father and her stepmother, and she brought it up, and they were like, yeah, no, I didn't like it at all. The look on my wife's face, she was fucking offended. Offended. How dare you? How dare you? I don't care. I thought it was a good fucking flick. What's another one that he's done that he, I think the Oscar nominated one was probably Ali. I remember watching it, but I didn't really take anything away from that. Some people are like he's too careful with his choices. But again, him and Tom Cruise, I think they made the attempts to make these, the artistic, you know, driven Oscar worthy movies. And not received, or they don't win the award, so they're like, well, fuck it. Let me just go back to doing what I do. You gotta ask yourself, okay, I mean, are you doing this now? Still doing it for the money? Or are you doing it for the acclaim? I mean, because at this point, neither one of them have to be doing it for the money. They've gotta have more money than God. Both of them. I've always said that's like, if you got $1 billion, what's the point? Does money even have a significance anymore? Does it? I don't know. Who knows what motivates either one of them? Just keep doing what you're doing, fellas. Because I'm entertained. I mean, actually looking forward to seeing Top Gun 2 Maverick. Who the hell knows when they're going to release that now? Since what we've seen, what they're doing now is they're releasing movies straight to streaming. Or, like in the case of The Fast and the Furious, they just were like, fuck it, we're pumping that shit back to next year, because we're not trying to lose money. I think that's a mistake to some degree, because I think that by the time next year rolls around, when we've gotten through all this, the whole movie landscape, how they're packaged and consumed by us, the public, is gonna change. Because you really think people are going to be in a big rush to go sit into a room, close quarters with a bunch of other people who you don't know? What, am I going to go in there with a fucking mask? Nah. So yeah, it's going to get interesting. But you know what's not interesting? The end, because that's what this is. Sarcastically speaking about stuff. Be a hunter. Stay safe, y'all.
Headhunter, son.